read up until verse 21 and through verse 21. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by your traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Beloved.
Thank you, Brother David, for reading the word of God. What a blessing that was with the special music. I mean, just a glimpse of the gospel and the power of the gospel, and a glimpse of the future when we think of Jesus as the Savior of the world, and Jesus by the gospel bringing the peoples and nations of this world together to bring glory to our great God. What a blessing. Let's bow our heads right now. Let's ask God's help as we look into his holy word. Let's pray. Father, it is a blessing to be here today. It is a blessing beyond measure to come into your presence in worship. And Father, we acknowledge very clearly and plainly that it is only by your work through Jesus Christ that we come to you today. Only through Jesus do we worship you today. And Father, thank you that you've allowed we who were lost and we who were undone, we who were separated from you, to now come into your presence and bring honor and glory and praise to you. Yes. Thank you, Father, through Jesus, our Savior. Father, you've brought us here to speak to us. I pray this morning that we will listen. You've brought us here to hear your voice through your word. I pray, Father, that our ears are open and that our ears have the channel to our hearts. Lord, help us, I pray, to respond to you as you speak to us in our lives today. We look forward to how you will transform us. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to read our passage again this morning, and I've put the words on the screen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 to 21. Peter writing here to believers, and he says, "And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." Our focus this morning is verses 20 and 21. And there are very close connections to what goes before. So verses 20 and 21 are really a continuation of verses 17 to 19. And if you remember what we looked at a few weeks ago, In verse 17, the Apostle Peter, as he speaks to believers, remember now it's believers who are suffering, believers who are going through hardships, through trials in their lives. Remember that Peter says that we should conduct ourselves in fear during the time of our stay here on earth. And if you remember, Peter actually gives us two reasons for conducting ourselves in fear. First of all, in verse 17, he says that God is our Father, but He is also our impartial judge. In other words, He will judge our works. He will judge our conduct, and we as believers should fear any conduct or any behavior that shows that God is not our hope, and God is not our joy, and God is not our satisfaction in life. But then second, verses 18 and 19, Peter reminds us that we have been redeemed from our aimless, futile way of life by the infinitely precious blood of Jesus Christ. And the way we understand that statement is simply this, that the more precious the price paid to rescue us from a life of sin and futility and emptiness and hopelessness, then the more fearful it is to take that price lightly and to live like Jesus is not precious to us. And so Peter is warning us against that danger in the midst of suffering and distress and persecution and trouble and difficulty in living our lives as Christians. You see, folks, we might be tempted to give up. We might be tempted to give in to sin. We might be tempted to say, it's no use. It's not worth it. But Peter helps us. Peter's saying, don't do it. Conduct yourselves in fear. And we should fear that we allow the preciousness of Jesus and His sacrifice and His death for us to be laid aside in our lives. The reason that Peter says that we should fear is because of the greatness of God's mercy, that such an amazing price was paid for our deliverance from this futile, wasted, sinful living. And folks, the price of that was the blood of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. Now this then is where verses 20 and 21 come in. Verse 20 then picks up without any break, and Peter tells us things about Jesus that will actually raise our hope higher than the ransom did in verses 18 and 19. And you know, when I think about that, it's going to be pretty hard to raise our hopes higher than the ransom that Jesus paid. And so we might even say that Peter now adds to our understanding and adds to our knowledge of what Jesus did and who Jesus is. And that's exactly what Peter does, because what he does is he gives us six truths in these two verses that will increase the preciousness of Jesus to us. And by doing this, Peter will accomplish two things in our lives. First of all, he will give us even more reason to hope in God. And then second, he makes hoping in sin or hoping in this world, or hoping in self, even more fearful and appalling in our lives. You see, folks, the more that God does for us, or the more that we understand what God does for us through Jesus, then the more fearful we will be in turning away from Him and turning away from the great hope that we have in God through Jesus Christ. And folks, this is a danger that we all face. And it's a danger that we face all the time, but even more so when we face distress or suffering or hardships or difficulty or persecution in our lives. This is why Peter writes. He writes to encourage us that our hope might be in God. So let's look at these six truths then that Peter tells us about Jesus this morning. These truths that will increase our hope and break the power of sin and self in our lives. We see them now in verses 20 and 21. We begin with verse 20, and the first truth is this, look at it with me, that Christ was foreknown before the foundation of the world. Now, some translations will say foreordained, some will say foreknown, some may even say chosen. And folks, what it means simply is this, that God the Father knew and loved God the Son, the Christ, before the universe was created. It means that Christ was new. It means that He was chosen. It means that He was loved with a specific purpose and a plan in mind. This one who shed His blood to pay the ransom of our rescue from this futile, aimless living was no ordinary person. And the plan to pay this ransom for sinful man was no afterthought in creation. This was planned by God. This was purposed by God before the foundations of the world. And so when you think about giving up, or you think about giving in to sin, or you think about turning away from God in the midst of hardships and difficulties and sufferings of living as a Christian in this sinful world, then you need to think about this, that the ransom paid for you to rescue you from this futile, aimless life was planned before the universe was created. This was not an afterthought with God. This was not God's response to what man did or what man would do. This was the plan of eternal God in eternity past for us through Jesus Christ. You see, God determined this. That's why these truths about Christ, one of many reasons why it's so important that we understand what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. And that's how important Christ is and salvation is. And that's how important you are. And that's how important the glory of God is. God determined this and planned this before anything existed. But God Himself and God the Son and God the Spirit. God planned this before the foundations of the universe were laid. And therefore we can say this morning that all of this is in God's hands. All of this is by God's plan. Christ's coming and Christ's death and Christ's resurrection and your salvation and your sanctification, all it's in God's hands. And folks, there's hope and there's encouragement in that truth. Amen. There's a second truth that Peter shares, verse 20, that Christ has appeared in these last times. Peter says in the middle of verse 20 that Christ was manifest in these last times for you. So He was manifest. He was revealed. He appeared in these last times. And so Christ existed before creation. Why? Because Christ is God. He always existed, eternally existed. He existed before creation in relationship with His Father and was invisible to human beings. But now, Peter reminds us, in these last times, in these days, these last times, the times of Messiah, the last times in earth's history, as we know it now, that Christ has appeared. Christ came. Jesus Christ came, the eternal Christ, the eternal Son of God, took on human flesh and blood so that God could be seen. In the words of Jesus Himself in John chapter 14, verse 9, Jesus said, "If you have seen Me, you have seen the Father." And so make no mistake, when Christ was seen, God was seen. And folks, this was also part of God's plan. You realize that there would have been no precious blood that Peter speaks about, a precious blood that redeemed us, if Christ had not appeared in human flesh and blood. You see, this was God's purpose. This was God's plan. Jesus came to live a perfect life. He came to die for sin, and He died to ransom us and free us from this futile way of living, this life of self. And so Jesus Christ has come. He has appeared. He is manifest in these last times. And therefore, when sin pulls you and self-dependence rears its ugly head in your life, and you begin to think that you can get happiness and joy in living life your way, you remember this, that Christ came and Christ appeared to redeem you and free you and release you from this aimless, futile, empty way of living. Jesus Christ came to do that. There's a third truth. Again, verse 20. Notice that Christ appeared for your sake. Peter says at the end of verse 20, but was manifest in these last times for you. In these last times for your sake. The reason that Christ appeared was for your sake. We really begin to think through that. And we could stop right there. And we could take hours of thought and contemplation and meditation on this simple statement by Peter, that Christ was manifest in these last times for you. For me, for all of us. That's why He came. I wrote down on my notes, this should astound us. This should knock us to our knees. This should humble us and move us to worship. Because we're talking here this morning about the infinitely wise and powerful and holy and righteous God of the universe and the one and only perfect divine Son of God. And we're talking about their purpose from the untraceable distance of eternity past to plan an unthinkable way of appearing into creation that would lead to the humanity of God the Son and the incomprehensible, cruel suffering and death of the God-man, Jesus Christ. And why? For our sake. For you and for me. And why? That we might be ransomed from the wasteful, futile, empty, aimless, useless life that has been lived by so many of our forefathers. That's what Peter said. You see, folks, when we're tempted to quit and to run away or to give up, or to throw up our hands to the world and to sin, Peter wants us to look to Jesus. He wants us to focus on Jesus and remember what He did. And remember that what He did for you and He did for me. There's hope and encouragement in that truth. Look at verse 21. There's a fourth truth. Peter says that God raised Christ from the dead. And so in the middle of verse 21, Peter says that God raised Him from the dead. He probably doesn't mention the death of Jesus here because he focused on the death of Jesus in verse 19. But here, notice that Peter says that the one who gave His lifeblood, who redeemed us, did not stay dead. That God raised Him from the dead, and God vindicated and prove the worth of the redemption by giving Christ life after He died. And folks, what that says then to us very clearly and loudly is that the redemption accomplished was satisfying to God. God was satisfied in that. But it also says to us very loud and clear that death has been defeated. That sin is vanquished and death has been defeated. You see, we're often tempted by sin and self to say, well, my way is better than God's way. And sin's way is more satisfying and pleasurable than God's way. See, sometimes we're tempted to say, well, sin is better today, right now. And I want to do this because it feels good and I like it. And it brings me pleasure right now. And so my own way is better right now. And life is short, and I want all the joy and all the pleasure that I can have in life right now. But the question that comes before us is, what about tomorrow? And what about next week? And what about next year? And folks, what about when death comes? And it's coming. It's coming. I was reminded in this past week as I spent time with Mom and Dad. And I say this with a sense of sadness, but I also say it with a sense of joy. It's coming. It's coming. And yet the truth of the matter is, I may see my Savior before they do. You see, that's God's control. That's God's hand. But it's coming. And if we put our hope in God through Jesus, oh folks, we will live again and will be happy and joyful and satisfied in God forever and ever. And therefore, even today, we can say to sin, "Be gone, sin, out of my life. Your power is broken. Be gone. The fear of death is over. I don't have to sin. I don't have to continue to live this futile life. I can put off the old man. I can put on the new man. There is no condemnation. I have passed from death to life. I can now live a life of joy and satisfaction and dependence upon God that will last forever." Amen. Forever. And there is hope and encouragement in that truth. There's a fifth truth. Look what Peter says, verse 21, that God gave Christ glory. He says in verse 21 that God gave Him glory. In other words, He didn't raise Him from the dead to be a mere man who would suffer and die again. But He gave Him glory. He brought Him into heaven and set Him at His right hand, and He reigns there with all the glory that He had from eternity with the Father. And folks, what that means then in our life is that as Christ has lived and as Christ has suffered and died and as God gave Him glory, that we are to follow Christ. Think about the life that He lived on this earth. Because the way that He lived led to glory for Himself. And the way that He lived was obedience and humility and service and sacrifice and suffering. And in the life of Jesus, get this now, first came the suffering, and then came the glory. I'll say it as plain as I can. If we follow Jesus, first comes the suffering, and then comes the glory. That's how we follow Jesus. That's how we follow Him. And He lives now with glorious power to make sure that our following Him will lead us to glory also. And therefore, folks, we can have every reason to hope in what God promises and not in what sin promises, because our glory is tied directly to the glory of Jesus. Absolutely. Our glory is connected with the glory of Jesus. And there is hope and encouragement in that truth about Jesus. And number six, verse 21, look what Peter says. He says, through Christ, we are believers in God. So we go back to the beginning of verse 21, where Peter says that through Him, through Christ, you believe in God. So Jesus Christ has done the necessary work of connecting us with God through faith. Now think about this. He was eternally foreknown. He was manifested as a human. He shed His precious blood. God raised Him from the dead. God gave Him glory. And through all this, we have come to hope in God. So let's get this clear in our minds as we put this together in what Peter's sharing in this passage. Peter says that through Christ, we believe in God. This is how we believe in God. This is how we have faith in God. This is how we trust God. This is how we are connected with God. Folks, this is the Word of God. This is what Peter says by the Holy Spirit and proclaims to all. It is through Him, it is through Jesus Christ that we believe in God. What clearness it is, even as we share the gospel. Because how many people have you talked to who say, I believe in God? And then the next question that you should ask is, do you believe in Jesus? Have you received Jesus? Have you placed your faith in the God-man, Jesus Christ, who died for your sins and who was raised from the dead? Because according to the plain word of Peter, you cannot believe in God apart from Jesus. Reminds us of the words of Jesus in John chapter 14, verse 6, when He said, no one comes to the Father except through Me. And so, folks, there is no believing God and coming to God and worshiping God and serving God and loving God apart from Jesus Christ. Our living relationship with God must come through a living, believing, trusting, depending relationship on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now look with me at the last phrase of verse 21. Last phrase. Peter says, so here's the ending, this whole paragraph, he brings us to this point, here's the reason, and he says, so that your faith and hope are in God. You see, all of this has been given so that our faith and our hope are in God. So here then is the clear connection with what Peter has said before. This is why we conduct ourselves in fear. This is why we fix our hope fully in the grace of God. This is why we live lives of holiness. Peter ends this whole paragraph by saying that God has done everything through Jesus Christ so that His people might put their faith and hope in God. And folks, this is how we fight sin, and this is how we fight selfishness, and this is how we fight self-dependence, and this is how we fight the discouragement and distress that comes from suffering and trouble in our lives as Christians. God knew and chose His Son, and God sent His Son, and God put His Son to death, and God raised His Son from the dead, and God gave His Son glory. And why? Verse 21, so that your faith and hope are in God. That's why God did it. Not in yourself, not in this world, not in possessions or position or power or pleasure, not in sin. But God did it all so that you can trust God, not someone else, not something else, but so that your faith and hope are in God. And so this morning, I call you with the words of Peter in this whole passage. Live in hope. Live in holiness. Live in fear. And fear anything that would pull your faith and hope away from God. And turn to Jesus and focus on Jesus and give your attention and your heart's affection to Jesus, who was chosen from eternity and manifested in time and crucified for sinners and raised from the dead and glorified at the right hand of God the Father. And all for your sake, that your faith and hope are in God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's true. It's true. Let's bow our heads. Father, we're just taken back by the words of Peter. And I pray this morning that not only are we taken back, that we're taken closer to you. Astounded at the simplicity of his statements and yet amazed at you and who you are and what you've done through Jesus Christ. Father, may our focus, may our devotion, may our affection be Jesus. He's worthy of our worship and praise and honor and glory. Thank you for Jesus. Father, I pray if there's anyone here today who has not placed their faith alone in Jesus Christ, that today would be that day. Even right now, God, help us to be your servants, to share the gospel, and to share it not only with our words, but to express it with our lives. And God, we can only do it through your help and through your provision. May your name be glorified today through Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Amen. Amen.